Greetings, saints. Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we love you, we praise you, thank you for all your mighty works in our behalf. Thank you for the wonderful revelations you're giving us. And thank you that this time of training is closing for something even greater coming. And we praise you for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. All right, saints, I've got a thrilling revelation here I want to share with you. And, you know, it came from a bunch of our brethren. God is so awesome. We're going to start with a bunch of revelations that were given that all kind of lead to the same point. the end of a time of separation and maturing. It's very interesting what the Lord is showing us from many different angles here. Father, we just thank you so much for this encouragement here. It's a mighty blessing. And we receive it in Jesus' name. So the dreams and visions that I'm going to share with you are pointing to the fact that the people who are chosen to walk with the man-child ministry into the tribulation in order to raise up disciples from among the church and the world are about to be prepared and separated from the tares and the goats as a bride. You remember how John said, in 3:29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And that he was speaking of those inner disciples who were chosen to walk with the man-child, who, as you know, were the foundation for the church, who went forth to bring others into the kingdom. And Matthew 13:41-43 says, "The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that cause stumbling, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He that hath ears, let him hear." Now what we found, what the Lord has shown us, is that this happens in two stages. One just before the tribulation, and the other fulfillment of this text is during the tribulation, when those who were not ready before the tribulation go through this cleansing process. And I've known this for a long time, now we're actually seeing, I think, the first phase coming to an end, and these disciples being prepared to walk with the man-child. Okay? And this first revelation, we called it All UBM is Chosen. Now, before you jump to conclusions, we'll get into this. And this was given to Bill Steenland on January the 22nd of this 2018. "I dreamed I was on the phone with Michael Hare, and we were talking about David's ministry. Michael Hare and I were talking about the Word here and what was new in the ministry. Michael told me all of David's local ministry was about to be chosen." Okay, before you jump to conclusions, Bill and I thought that there was also an application to larger UBM, since we locals are a microcosm of the much larger body. And let me say this, those who are actually unleavened bread, that means and that means wherever they are the true Word made flesh and put into action. So we're talking about the unleavened bread people. And this is going on all over the world with the unleavened bread people. That is, the ones who have the true Word of God in their hearts, and they have not gone astray with the teachings or the fornications of the women, representing the different sects of Christianity. S-E-C-T-S. And Bill said, "Oh, wow, that's fantastic." He said, "My eyes got wide as I thought about all the implications of such an event. The conversation ended as I was about to jump for joy in the dream." Yeah, well, it's been a long tribulation and testing and trials and so on and so forth and separations and all good things to bring about the purity of the unleavened bread people. And I do believe that the Lord is showing us that He is now bringing people and bodies into maturity to use them in the great latter rain revival. Bill said, "The dream changed and I was sitting on a large couch with Eve Brast, who has often been used as a type of the bride of the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And we were talking about faith and maturity. Her little boy, Josiah," I thought about little boy, Josiah. This represents her man-child reformer. You remember Josiah was a reformer. Her man-child reformer ran to the bathroom and vomited violently. I was happy for him that he would be feeling better. So our local body was has commented how much freer we have felt with a better anointing each time we have been delivered of someone whose spirits were leavening us. It's a feeling that everybody notices. Our worship, our love, and our gifts have grown as the leaven was removed by God. And those who were lukewarm in their uncleanness and have not borne fruit or maturity through faith have been spewed out of the body through being given over to faction, which is separation. It's the perfect spirit to bring about separation. God is so wise. And Revelation 3 and 14 on down says, "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. But because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And I have taught for years that this was talking about being spewed out of the body of Christ, since the whole thing is a spiritual revelation. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and have gotten riches and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art the wretched one and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold refined by fire, that thou mayest become rich, and white garments," which of course means righteousness and purity, "that thou mayest clothe thyself." And of course that is with the works of Jesus, right? "And that the shame of thy nakedness be not made manifest, and eye salve to anoint thine eyes that thou mayest see." And of course, the shame of thy nakedness represents those that have not put on the works of Christ. So he's speaking here, of course, to those who are spewed out. He gives them an order to correct their ways, and of course, many don't when they're in that position. Bill went on to say, Eve was talking about faith and how a dream I had in the past helped her out. So the bride is saying, faith has helped her out, you know. I said, oh, the one where my mother Faith was carrying more groceries than she could handle. And I believe this represents the bride in the past having more spiritual food or knowledge of the word than the corresponding works, symbolized by the hand. You know, she had some of them in her hand, right? But the rest were tied on, in order to go along with it, right? Faith had them tied to her waist as she came in the house. There it is. Some in her hand and some tied to her waist. And this, I believe, represents knowledge, which is a burden until it is mixed with faith and works, which is the hand, that come of it and brought into the house of God. Okay. And then Bill said, my mother's name is Faith. And he said, this represents faith and works in the spiritual food which will supply your every need. That is so true. Amen. Eve said, yes, I heard that dream and printed it out and have had it ever since. And Bill's interpretation of that was the word of God written or printed on tablets of our heart. As the printing paper is always white, so must the hearts of those who receive the word be pure and undefiled from spots and blemishes in order to bear the fruit of 30, 60, and 100-fold. Yes, well said, Bill. In the parable of the sower, he said, the Lord said, but such as are of a good and an honest heart bear the fruit. Yes, amen. Amen. And Eve said, I went into the other room and changed into a white t-shirt. I mean, obviously, after she got this faith, she was able to walk in white, right? In Revelation 3 and 4, but thou hast a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You know, Jude 1 and 23 says, and some save, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. This is a defiled garment. Spots and blemishes on our actions, our works, are, of course, recorded. And they can be removed through faith and repentance. And, of course, we see in the book of Revelation him exhorting each church as he rebukes them to straighten up, or he'll remove their candle, or other such things as that. So he always leaves a door open for repentance and purifying, right? Amen. And Bill said, I believe Josiah throwing up represents our local body getting delivered of things. And I would say some people, you know, because you talk about the body, members of the body, you know, leave. So it's some people too. And he went on to say that make us sick spiritually. And when I woke up from this dream, the Lord's still small voice spoke to me saying, passing the love test. It's what we've been calling the love test. We also call it the faction test because they are one and the same. And he said, I felt like it was for our entire local body. Again, we believe that our local body is a microcosm of the larger body, and that there are actually out there in the larger body some people who are unleavened bread. Praise the Lord. So, those in the remnant who have passed the faction test, which is the love test, are chosen to bring reform and revival. Ain't God good? The Lord gave me a small but awesome confirmation Sunday as I was driving to a family member's wedding. We were meeting at a barbecue restaurant, and I knew the general way, more or less, but my Google Maps told me to take a turn down a road that appeared out of the way. The road was called Love. Love Road. I said, hey, what the heck, like, why not? So it ended up being a shortcut to the restaurant, which GPS and Google Maps aren't exactly known for. I thought, there is no way that that's a coincidence, you know. Yeah, Love Road. Amen. The shortcut, this is my thoughts, is that the shortcut to the wedding or marriage feast is the highway of holiness. Isaiah 35:1. The wilderness, which we know to be the 7-day/year marriage feast, a marriage feast was for 7 days among the Jews, but days, of course, is the 70th week of Daniel, so it's a 7-day/year, right? So the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly. We're talking about the fruit of Jesus, right? Coming forth in a mighty way and with a mighty anointing in the wilderness, right? And rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Well, we know that God is going to shine forth out of Zion. And he's going to show forth his glory in his people, right? Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees, and say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and with recompense of God, he will come and save you. And we know the many places in Isaiah, especially, where the Lord is coming for his people. He also comes with this vengeance and with recompense against the Edomites, those who have factioned against their brethren. And this, he shows us this over and over, you know, that he is going to not only judge the Edomites, but also save out of them a remnant. All right? He will come and save you. So we are talking about a visitation of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in Hosea 6:2-3, that he is going to come to us as the latter rain on the morning of the third day. He is coming. This is a visitation. He's coming as the latter rain, the outpouring of the Spirit, right? And he's going to pour out the former and the latter rain, according to Joel 2, upon the people. Those that haven't received the former rain need that, and those that haven't received the latter rain are going to receive that. But the first place the latter rain is going to be poured out is on the man-child ministry, just as the first place the former rain was poured out is upon Jesus as a type of the end-time man-child. History repeats in larger ways, right? Verse 5, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, Oh, gosh. Thank you, Lord. And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a harp. Some people are crippled. They can't walk with the Lord. He'll leap as a harp. And the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. Yes, much fruit is going to be born. Where it may have taken people many years to get to where they are, suddenly an anointing is going to help them. Think about it, folks. The overwhelming majority of the church hasn't even received the form of rain. And the glowing sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The glowing sand shall become a pool. Usually a glowing sand is a fake, you know. But this time the Lord is saying it's going to become a pool. And the thirsty ground springs of water. In the habitation of jackals, where they lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there. There's that highway. And it shall be called the way of holiness. There's the highway of holiness. And the unclean shall not pass over it. Well, no, they don't like the highway of holiness. But it shall be for the redeemed. The wayfaring men, yea, fools, shall not err therein. Wayfaring men is the traveler on a well-traveled road. It's the broad road bunch. They're not going to go there, this highway. And where does this lead? Well, let's continue on. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up thereon. In other words, the beast will not be able to catch you on the highway of holiness. There is no curse on the people who are holy. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. One of the revelations we're going to share a little further down is how the beast could not catch Sandy Shaw. Well, praise God. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion. That's where the wedding is. An everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness, and joy and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. That sounds like the coming of the end of tribulation for those who are before the tribulation getting prepared to walk with the man-child. Now, let me point something out to you. There are several groups in that woman that goes into the wilderness. Within the woman is the bride. Within the bride is the man-child. Remember, those that walked closely with Jesus were disciples were called the bride by John, as we just read. Okay? So, of course, there are crowns to be had. And, of course, some are giving up their crown to others. But that's okay, because God is going to have a righteous and a pure people. So then we got Sue Gilbert's revelation on January the 23rd of this 2018. And we called it, Class is Over. And Eve had a dream similar to this too, in which she was finishing her homeschooling. She was graduating early. Praise God. So we're getting all kinds of revelations here, folks, that are telling us this thing is coming to an end. And yes, the Red Sea is happening still, and it's going to have a finish here before too long, very quickly. And, of course, you know what's on the other side, the wilderness or tribulation, right? So here's Sue's revelation. In a dream, a bunch of us from UBM were in a classroom. Robin and I were sitting at a table. I didn't recognize the teacher, for I couldn't see his face. There's probably a good reason for that. It looked like he was putting away some things. And she said, "The Holy Spirit?" And I agree. That's exactly who it is, our teacher. It felt like we were getting finished with the season. Some were leaving the room and others were lingering around as if to say, "Now, what do we do?" Okay, I'm finished school. Where are we going now? What are we going to do now? Kind of like when you graduate. Let me see. What am I going to do now? Yeah. It seemed as though some were going out to minister and some were to stay to help new ones, right? To raise up new disciples, right? Some will do it locally and some will do it far away. Then I woke up. And my thought is the season of training is coming to an end for the true disciples who are prepared to raise up others in the tribulation into the image of Christ. Amen. Sue said, "I asked the Lord for a word concerning this and got the third question of my study Bible above 3 John chapter 1, which says, 'Are you quick to love? To exhort and to stand for truth.'" See, faction, one thing faction does, which is a demon that separates, is it cannot love. It always professes love but shows none. And it cannot stand with the truth. Cannot happen. And she went on to say, "What do you need to do?" That's what it said in that note. Are you quick to love, to exhort, and to stand for truth? What do you need to do? Well, first thing popped into my mind was Micah 6 and 8. It says, "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with thy God." She said, "Then I read 3 John chapter 1, the whole chapter, 1 to 15, which seems to fit very well." And here it is. It does fit very well. 3 John 1 and 1 on down. "The elder unto Gaius, the beloved, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that in all things thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And that's true. As your soul prospereth, the Lord can prosper you in many things. "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and bare witness unto thy truth, even as thou walkest in truth." There it is. "Greater joy have I none than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth." Now you can just imagine the one who wrote this is the Lord himself, right? So we're hearing a message from him to us here, right? "To hear of my children walking in the truth. Beloved, thou dost a faithful work in whatsoever thou doest towards them that are brethren and strangers withal, who bear witness to thy love before the church." A lot of people come here and they say they've never felt greater love in an assembly. And I agree. I never have either. "Whom thou wilt do well to set forward on their journey, worthily of God." Yep, they're ready to go out now, right? "Because that for the sake of the name they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to welcome such, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. And I wrote somewhat unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not." You know, when faction comes into a person, they become proud and arrogant. They're not humble towards their brethren. They're not humble towards the word, you know. That demon is seeking to take over, and take over as many people as possible, too. "Therefore, if I come, I will bring to remembrance his works which he doeth, prating against us with wicked words." "And not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren. And them that would, he forbiddeth and casteth them out of the church." Yep, there's faction for you. The Lord is coming in judgment to deal with the factious leaders, the Edomites, who have brought his people into demonic bondage. And it goes on, "Beloved, imitate not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. He that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath the witness of all men, and the truth itself. Yea, we also bear witness, and thou knowest that our witness is true. I had many things to write unto thee, but I am unwilling to write them to thee with ink and pen. But I hope shortly to see thee." And again, this is the Lord speaking. I believe the Lord is coming in a visitation. "I hope shortly to see thee, and we shall speak face to face." The Lord is coming face to face with his elect and to judge their wicked persecutors. And it finishes with, "Peace be unto thee. The friends salute thee. Salute the friends by name." Amen. Okay, now, here is the chosen bride given to Kirk Bryan on January the 26th of this 2018. The chosen bride. "In a dream, I was entering into this huge room. I recognized all the people from UBM. They were all really happy, and I noticed that everybody was wearing Lampros clothing. Lampros clothing. And when I came through the door, I was given a robe too. And then I woke up. There was more to the dream than I can remember. I was extremely excited and happy when I woke up." Well, this is a dream that the bride is about to be matured in her works to begin the 7-day marriage feast of the tribulation. And the bride has on the lampros, or bright, which is translated from the Greek word lampros, bright garments, while those invited to the marriage have on the leukos, or white garments. Some are merely white, some are brilliant and white, right? Revelation 19 and 7, "Let us rejoice and be exceedingly glad, and let us give the glory unto him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright," and that's the word lampros, "and pure," which is where we get our word lamp, right? "And pure. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." And then down in verse 14, "And the armies which are in heaven followed him upon white," that is leukos, "horses, clothed in fine linen, white and pure." Amen. Now, we have a revelation here that we call some enter through the threat of death. Kirk Bryan, December the 1st, 2017. "I had a dream and I was in a huge auditorium. People were coming in together, trickling in. I was in the middle of it, seated with young men and some young women that came and sat down with us. I knew they were really excited and happy, and that they were saved from the perverted lifestyle. Then came some people who were in the faction and witchcraft. One gave me a big hug, and he also had a big smile on his face." And there were names in here, so we know, you know, about this, but we took the names out, of course. "Then came some of my relatives who were living in sin, and they came in showing me their wedding bands. They were very excited too. I knew in the dream that all of our loved ones were there, and the phrase was in my mind, quote, 'The Spirit of the Living God is calling out your name. Come alive.' And then I woke up with that phrase still in my mind, and I knew this was the beginning of the revival." Yep. Prophecy. You know, he spoke to the dry bones, right? Come alive. Personally, I was impressed of the Lord to ask him, is this people coming into the kingdom but has nothing to do with whether they are alive or dead? Meaning, some repented before death and entered the kingdom, and others repented and entered the kingdom and didn't die. But these will all be saved. And I felt the answer was yes. And I asked and got four heads to confirm this. Now, this does not mean that these will be all be in the bride, but they will be saved. All right. Now, this is a revelation we called You Can't Catch Me. Sandy Shaw received this January the 4th, 2018. In a dream, I'm in a house very unfamiliar to me, the house of the strangers, I'm going to call it, because I know a little bit more about the rest of the text that you don't know. There are lots of rooms and just as many hallways. There are quite a few people that I don't know. All I know was I wanted to get out of there. And I would say that the righteous wish to depart from the old sinful, selfish lifestyle of the wicked. Then across this long room on the other side was a monster. And I believe this monster represents the beastly flesh with all its lusts. It was pushing a manual, empty wheelchair. He has an animal's face and hands that had two fingers and a thumb and long nails like claws. And he said, "Ha! There you are. I'm not chasing you anymore. Get in this chair. You were never to come out. So hurry up and sit down." Well, the plan of the fleshly beast is to never come out from apostate Christianity. And the fleshly beast is chasing the Christian to make them a spiritual invalid who can't stand upright and can't escape. And there are many in this case. Some of these will be delivered in the wilderness where there's much fruit going to be born. And some before. I kept running and tried to dodge him to stay ahead of him. I was running in and out of the people. And the people weren't bothered by the monster. I don't think they saw him. Well, no, they wouldn't, because he represents the lusts of the fleshly life. Right? Then the monster got real close and I turned the corner. And there was a bigger monster standing in front of me. And he says, "I caught her." But before he could finish saying that, I socked him in the belly, and he fell on his butt. And I said, "Lord, get me out of here." And then I woke up. And here are the verses I received by faith at random. 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 13. Okay. "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if any man buildeth on the foundation of Christ," right? "Gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, and stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work of what sort it is." And that's because the fiery trial will burn up the wood, hay, and stubble of the old fleshly life, and there will be left the gold and silver and costly stones of the Christ life, right? And verse 23 on down a little further says, "And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Praise God. That's where you end up, right? Thank you, Father. And this is about divided paths. Shalonda Kelton's had several visions. This was one, January the 27th, 2018. Rob Miller put some notes in here, and I put a few myself. And Shalonda said, "I had a vision. It was a field with a pathway on the right side of it with someone on it. But on the left side, in the field, there was this big fog-like cloud. Now, we know on the left side, that's where Jesus put the goats, right? The stubborn and rebellious, right? And Jesus said, the field is the world. So in this world, there's people who walk on the left and people who walk on the right. And the place of separation of the righteous from the tares or goats who are on the left, right? Matthew 13 and 38 says, and the field is the world, and the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. Those are those that walk on the right, on the path, right? And the tares are the sons of the evil one that's on the left in the cloud. In the cloud. On the left is a cloud. They can't see. They don't know what's going on. Can you imagine most of Christianity is in that place? Because when the tribulation comes, what are they going to think? They've been taught so many false, rosy things, you know, and now they find themselves in this great tribulation, you know. And they thought they would fly away, and they didn't, and they're still here, and they're facing an angry beast, which is going to lead them to try to once again search out the Bible and find out what it is to escape, you know. Now, here's some of Rob's notes. He said, there are two men in the field. Matthew 24 and 40. Then shall two men be in the field. One is taken and one is left. The one who is taken is the body of Christ, and the one who is left is the body of Antichrist. Well, and also, folks, let me say something about Antichrist. There are more Christians who are Antichrist because they're against Christ. You're either for me or you're against me, you see. It's not that they are the Antichrist, but they are walking and living in the flesh, which is the body of Antichrist, okay? Galatians 3:28 through 29, Rob writes, and there shall be neither Jew nor Greek, there shall be neither bond nor free, there can be no male and female, for you are one man in Christ Jesus. And of course, that's what God's doing with his people. He's going to make them one in Jesus Christ. And if you are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise. And 1 John 2 and 18, little children, it is the last hour, and as you heard that Antichrist cometh, even now have there arisen many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last hour. What was he talking about? There were rising many Antichrists. Well, just read on. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they all are not of us. That's what you call Antichrist. Where is Antichrist coming out of the body in these days? Well, there isn't anything more Antichrist that I've run across than the people who call themselves Christians, but they're full of faction. Okay, and faction is division. God is using this to divide these people from the body. They went out from among us. 2 John 1, 9 tells us, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. And Rob says, to be a part of the body of Christ, we must choose the narrow path to the right. And, of course, I would say, stay on it. Right? Matthew 25, 31 through 34 says, but when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations. So there's a visitation, and all the nations are gathered. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Now, Jesus did just this. He went into the sheepfold, he called us all by name, and he took them out of the sheepfold of apostate Judaism. And now it's apostate Christianity. See? And verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And the disciples were surprised to find out where the kingdom of heaven was. He said, it's in your midst. He said, it's in the midst of you. It doesn't come with observation. You know, they were looking for some kind of a physical appearance of the kingdom. But the kingdom is where God rules. God rules in you, right? Luke 13:24, strive to enter in by the narrow door. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Yeah, once the Lord raises up to close the door, it's all over. So I'm going to repeat Shalanda's vision again here so we can make some more comments. It was a field with a pathway on the right side of it, with someone on the pathway. But on the left side in the field, there was this big fog-like cloud, she said. And the big fog-like cloud, Rob says, to the left of the field represents that their eyes are being fogged up on the broad road that leads to destruction. They don't have discernment. They don't have perception. And they don't see that they're on the broad road. And those on the right path are the righteous whose eyes were open to the truth of the narrow path as they continue daily to forget what is behind and press on to the mark of the high calling. Amen. Amen. And Matthew 13:11-17. And he answered and he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. So they're in the fog, right? For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I unto them in parables, because seeing they see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. They're in the fog. Right. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall in no wise understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest haply they should perceive with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should turn again, and I should heal them. In other words, God was not granting these people repentance. And that's what the Bible says. God grants repentance. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You're on the right path, right? The narrow path. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see and saw them not, and to hear the things which you hear and heard them not. And Matthew 7:13-14, enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. And Philippians 3:12-14, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on, if so be, that I may lay hold on that for which also I was laid hold on by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and stretching forward to the things which are before, I press on towards the goal, unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The person Shalonda did not know on the path to the right represents many members who represent one man in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:12-14. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And also 1 Corinthians 12:18-20. But now hath God set the members, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now they are many members, but one body. And then on January the 28th, Shalonda received the other part of the vision. She said, I had another vision, and in it everything was gray. And I believe gray represents death. Okay. A woman who was gray was walking into a fog. Well, there's that fog again. And that represents these people that are going forward and don't see and don't hear and so on. And there was a building on the right of her that had a little light coming from it, like from a small square window. And Rob said, this vision coincides with the vision above of the fog to the left of the field. The woman walking into the fog is the apostate church, laden with sins, led away by divers lusts, who have swallowed the many lies from the spirit of Jezebel in the church today. Well, amen. 2 Timothy 3:1-7 says, but know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding a form of godliness, but having denied the power thereof. From these also turn away. And again, this is one of the best descriptions of factious people I know of. For of these are they that creep into houses and take captive silly women laden with sins, led away by divers lusts. Yes, they are being used to cleanse the church of those who fail the love test, right? They fail the faction test. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And Revelation 2:18-29, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like unto burnished brass. I know thy works, and thy love, and faith, and ministry, and patience, and that thy last works were more than the first. But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calleth herself a prophetess, and she teacheth and seduceth my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time that she should repent, and God is doing that, I might say, and she willeth not to repent of her fornication. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of her works. And I will kill her children with death. And all of the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the reins and the hearts, and will give unto each one of you according to your works. I know that this death is coming, and I know that the Lord has identified for us people in the faction who are about to die. And I think it's going to come before the end of winter. Okay? I think. And that seems to be hinted in one dream that I have. I'm not sure. But to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan, and they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burden, as they are wont to say, I should say. Nevertheless, that which ye have, hold fast until I come. And he that overcometh, and he that keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. Keepeth my works, that's the garments that are undefiled, right? And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to shivers, as I also received of my father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And the building to the right of her that had a little light coming from a small square window represents the man-child that is about to lead the true church into their wilderness as the darkness tries to swallow up the true light. John 12:35-36, Jesus therefore said unto them, Yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, that the darkness overtake you not. And he that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe on the light, that you may become sons of the light. These things spake Jesus, and he departed and hid himself from them. And Revelation 12:5-6, And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. 3.5 years before the beast makes war, right? And Revelation 3:7-13, to the church of the to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and none shall shut, and that shutteth and none openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee a door opened, which none can shut, that thou hast a little power, and didst keep my word, and didst not deny my name. Behold, I give of the synagogue of Satan, of them that say they are Jews, and they are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou didst keep the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of trial, that hour which is to come upon the whole world to try them that dwell upon the earth. I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no one take thy crown. He that overcometh, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go out thence no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and mine own new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you got something really good out of this. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Please go with us and give us grace, Lord. Amen. Well, good night, saints.